And greet your neighbor this morning and tell them how much you appreciate them being here. Stand, please. If you would, find your way to your seats. We'll begin our service this morning. If you find your way back to your seats, we'll go ahead and have our morning prayer and begin our service this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hello, everyone. Find your way back to your seats, please. Again, good morning, and thank you so much for being at Crestview Baptist Church this morning. We'll begin our service this morning with a morning prayer. If you would bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come into your house, Lord. Thank you for everything that you do for us that we don't even know about, Lord. Just the air that we breathe, the friends that you give us, the wonderful church that let's attend, Lord. Thank you so much for that. As we go into this service, Lord, today, we ask that you would be with us and you would fill our hearts with your wisdom and your love. For it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, Crestview. Thank you for being here this morning. We're glad you chose to come worship with us this morning. Excited to another day to worship the Lord. I see some new faces. I'd like to welcome you, everyone. If you've never been here before, we would like to get to know a little bit more about you. There are some cards you can fill out in the pews in front of you and drop in the offering plate just to, if you want us to contact you, if you got any prayer requests, things like that. I encourage you to do that if you want to. Just a few announcements to get us going. First, right after church today, we have our church conference. After our church conference, we have two separate little meeting groups going on. No, I know what we have two separate ones too. Okay. So the men and the women, the WMU and the Baptist men. Anybody who helps with that, Whitey wants to meet with you guys in here right after that. Just a few minutes to get everything going, and if you are signed up to take the ASL class, the American Sign Language class, they're going to have like a short introduction thing today after service to just see where we're going, to get things going. So if you signed up for that, I'm going to say Baptist men and women will meet over here. And if you signed up for the ASL class, I was thinking like a good place to do that. The prayer room, if you'll go out this hallway, and it's next to the last room on your right is the prayer room. If you'll meet in there with Miss Tara and Miles, and just going to get you an introduction of what's going to happen in this ASL class. And also, the men and the women are going to do a work day on Thursday. They're going to be doing some work around here. And if you don't want to work outside in the heat, some of the ladies are going to be in here going through the stuff for the Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes that we have, just so kind of we can get an inventory of what we have. I know we're like thinking like shoeboxes, it's just August, but it's going to sneak up on us, And we want to be sure we have the things we need for that, because we do that real soon to get ready to get those out where they need to be. Don't forget about our Wednesday night services, adults, Bible study and prayer meeting here in the sanctuary, kids and youth out in the building. If you go past the, if you drive past the church, there's a big metal building. We meet out there. I just invite you to those if you would like to come. And I don't think I have any more announcements other than breakfast is coming up September the 6th. First Saturday rolls around pretty quick. And August the 31st, we're having a picnic down at the creek, a potluck picnic down at the creek that evening. So keep those things in your mind. There are announcements in your bulletin, and I also see that there is a fellowship lunch on September the 7th after our worship service, and the information for that is in your bulletin to tell you where to sign up and all that good stuff. But this time, I just invite you to Whitey's got one, and after that, we're going to turn it over to Pastor Don as we invite you to worship with us today.
In your bulletin, it's telling about a meal on September 7th. That's a fundraiser for North Carolina State Missions Offering. A couple corrections there. It's not going to be pork steak. It'll be barbecue. And the cost of that will be $10 for adults, $6 for children from 6 to 12, and children under 5 and under will be free. So we'll have tickets to be sold for that there. See one of the WMU members or either the Baptist men. We'll have tickets available after today. So plan to come and be with us on that day. And that will be on September 7th. That'll be directly after the church service that morning, too. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. I wanted to update you based upon our ordination last Sunday. If Whitey Green and Terry Pendleton would stand up, please. They are rotating off as deacons, and so make sure and be able to thank them for their service over the last few years. And we're just grateful that both of you have done so much to be able to help minister to the families of Crestview Baptist. So thank you. Gary Krotz, if you would stand, please. Kathy Humphreys and Paul. Yes, Paul Pittman. I didn't know that. Gary and Kathy are going to be taking over the two families groups that have been taking care of Terry and Whitey. Paul will be doing a new group. If you are a visitor to the church, or you're attending regularly but not a member of the church, then Paul will be serving as your deacon. And so we want to thank them for their willingness to be able to serve the church as deacons. And lastly, some of you may know we have switched pianist in the last 10 minutes or so. But that's because Lisa made a brave effort to come here, but she's in the middle of passing a kidney stone. So she is on her way to the emergency room to be able to address that. So we want to be in prayer for her as she goes through this. And she's been dealing with this for a few weeks. So let's...
It's still in the family.
We won't talk about which. Anyway, I'll stop right there before I get in trouble. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for how you work in our lives. We thank you for how you bring joy to our lives, how sweet things become even sweeter when you're with us. We thank you also for the time when we're weak and you pick us up and carry us. When it seems like there's more in life that we can handle somehow, you touch us and comfort us and give us strength and peace. Lord, we do pray for Lisa specifically that you'd be able to help her to pass the kidney stone and have her health restored to her. We very much appreciate what she brings to the music ministry of this church. We pray for this service that it would be for your honor and glory. May we seek out your face. May we bring to worship ourselves, our lives, our attention, our focus, so that you would be able to speak to us and guide us and challenge us. We pray that you would be able to receive all glory, honor, and praise from this service as we dedicate ourselves to you through the worship service today, through prayer, songs, and all parts of it. For your glory, for your honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand and sing Great and Mighty? Gifts, tithes, and offerings.
To come out. Thank you for the opportunity to give us to give back to you a small portion of what we've earned this week. Lord, we ask that you would use this monies, bless it, of glory, and raise your kingdom. For Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Would you stand again as we sing 406, The Solid Rock?
All other
Can I get any kids to come forward for our children's sermon this morning? Come on in. I want to start out by thanking you guys for praying for these guys. Some of these guys started school this week. Some of these guys started school for the very first time this week. You did? Oh, you started kindergarten? Cool. And so I have tried to talk to everybody between Wednesday and today. And I think everybody but my oldest daughter had a pretty successful week at school because she just said she hated everything. But everybody else, she was the only one out of the four girls I had this morning who couldn't find anything good to say about school this week. So, but it's okay. She's going to get me for picking on her. But, all right, guys, I have a question. Who likes to play with Play-Doh? Anybody here like to play? Play-Doh is fun. And I meant to grab a tub of Play-Doh and bring it in here with me. But if I took some Play-Doh and I took the lid off of the container and I put the Play-Doh on the table and left it there, what's going to happen? It disappears. Wow. That one is a new one. Okay. But is it going to turn into anything?
No.
Why isn't it going to turn into anything? It could dry up, yeah. If you leave it there. It could if you leave it there long enough. But why? So, like, for me, like, my go-to, I'm not a very, like, crafty person. My go-to Play-Doh craft when I was growing up was a bird's nest with eggs in it. I was just that was like my masterpiece. I was really good at that, okay? I'll show you guys in children's church if you want me to. I'll show you guys. I was great at it. But why, if I put Play-Doh on this table, why won't it turn into any great, wonderful creation? Okay, but what does it need? What? Right, okay. So Play-Doh takes my hands or your hands to come in and mold it and shape it into what it needs to be. Now, if I leave it there, if somebody said it might dry up, it's not going to be as useful as it needs to be. It could be as hard as a rock. That's right. Well, have you guys ever watched someone make a pot with clay? Has anybody ever watched it? I'll show you guys a video in children's church. But clay is not really like Play-Doh in a sense that it's just really not. But it's moldable and it's shapeable. And hey, boys. And in order for a clay pot to turn into something like, I'll try to see if we had a vase up here. No, to turn into like a vase for flowers. It takes, you do need lots of it, but it also takes the work of the potter's hand to come in, and they put it on this table, and it spins around, and they use their hands and their fingers to shape it and turn it into what it needs to be. Did you know that in the Bible, God compares us to clay in a potter's hand? Did you know that? He did. All right, so I'm going to tell you guys something that I tell you guys all the time. But God created you for a purpose. He created you to be something special. He has a plan for each and every one of us. But if I don't allow myself to have God come in and have control over my life, just give me one minute, okay? If I don't allow God to come into my life and take control over my life and turn me and shape me into what He wants me to be, can I be the creation that God wants me to be?
No,
I can't. It's a good guess, but I can't because I have to allow God to come in and say, okay, God, I want to live my life for You. I want to love You. I want to be who You want me to be. And I have to give full control over that to God in order for Him to turn me into what He, for me to be molded into what He created me to be. Because I can choose to say, you know what, God? I don't want any part of what You got. And all those special talents and special skills that God gave me, they just go to waste because I'm not using them for Him. But if I allow God to come in and say, okay, God, You're my creator. You made me. I'm nothing without You. I want You to have control over my life, and I want to serve You. God comes in. He works in our lives, kind of like making the potter making a pot, and He molds us, and He makes us who we are meant to be. I'm going to read you. Hold on. You guys can ask
God
me.
God makes us out of dirt.
Oh, He did, yes. You guys can ask me all the questions when we go to children's church you want to ask, okay? Can it hold for children's church?
Yes, He did.
Okay. All right. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, "Yet You, Lord, are the Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of Your hand." And that was from Isaiah. So God created us to be special. But in order for us to grow and to be who God wants us to be, we have to say, we have to just give it over to God. And we can't say, well, I want this and I want that. But because we all want things because we're humans. But God, sometimes the things we want don't line up with what God wants. So we have to trust Him and give Him control over our life so we can be who He created us to be. Isn't that awesome? We're going to talk more about that in children's church, and we're going to show you guys a video of a potter making some clay and show you guys what that looks like and talk about what we can do to be molded into who God wants us to be. But let's pray right now, and you guys can go sit with your parents or you can sit on the front row with me until we go out to children's church, either one. God, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for allowing us to be here. Thank You for being our creator, creating the world that we live in, all the wonderful things that we see, and for creating us in Your image, God. Help us as we grow to give our lives over to You so You can make us who You created us to be. Help us to follow You and obey You in everything. Thank You so much for sending Jesus Christ to live a life we couldn't live, die a death we deserve, and raise up on the third day. Now He's getting us an awesome place ready. Lord, I love You, and I praise You, and I thank You for everything. Amen.
God said You're gonna make it. God said You're gonna make it. God said You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it, for the Master's on board.
God said You're gonna make it. God said You're gonna make it. God said You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it, for the Master's on board. Stand fast, you have Jesus on board. No storm has ever troubled our Lord. No one knows what life's gonna bring, but you're safe, you are a child of the King. So I'm not giving up. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday I'll keep holding on,
holding on
to this nail-scarred head. I'm not giving up, no, I'll keep going on, going on. You gotta hold. unchanging hand, unchanging hand. Don't worry over thunder, you're not going under.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the master's own.
Our sermon title is Don't Worry, Be Happy. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6, from verses 25 to 34. Don't worry, be happy. Somehow I got a song stuck in my head. So now that we got rid of that, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies on the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, I thank you for your word and pray that it would come alive in our hearts. Pray that we would be able to honor you and understand what it is you're calling us to do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We pray that we're open to the leadership of your Spirit, however it may lead. For we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. In this chapter, we see that Jesus has already taught us how to pray, what to pray for. He's also told us to make God our treasure and focus on things that will last for all eternity. He's also reminded us that we cannot serve two lords. We cannot serve both God and material gain. So now he brings to a universal question, worry. Some people worry more than others. My mother had a PhD in worry. My junior year, summer of my junior year, I spent and I drove to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so if you look on a map and you look from Kentucky and you go up to Michigan, hey, that's not very far. But then your finger continues to go up to Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and all of a sudden you got about an 8-hour trek. So I drove up there, told my mother I'd be back about 9 o'clock. Well, by 8:30, she's already started in full-blown worry. 9 o'clock passes, I get there at 9:30, and I thought we were going to have to call EMS. So I learned from that valuable lesson that whenever I was telling my mother that I was coming from another state, even after I had wife and family, I would always tell her an hour later than I planned to be there. And for those who were gifted in worry, like she was, there could be absolutely nothing to worry about. But in her imagination, that tea glass is half full. They're going to be wanting more tea. So she'll take a bite of food, get up and go get that tea pitcher and go and fill up that glass. Oh, that one's half full now. So then she'd sit down, take a bite, and then she'd go get another. And that's just how she did. But worrying does not help us. It comes natural to some people, and it is a universal problem. We may not all have PhDs in worry, but we always worry about something or other. Some people don't know where their next meal is coming from. Some people just don't know what they want for their next meal. Some people are looking for jobs and don't know where the next job will be. Some are having problems in their relationships and worry whether these differences can be ironed out or not. And even those with no apparent worries find something to worry about. And there's the biggest temptation of worry of all. What if? Oh, what if we run out of food? Have you been to a Baptist church where they run out of food? What if I don't get things right tomorrow? What if, what if, what if? What ifs never are solved. They just generate more and more worry. Those who have comfortable living may worry about whether they get to keep their employment, the challenges they face at work, even about retirement funds, especially in light of the very volatile stock market. Some worry about mortgages, credit card payments, paying for Christmas gifts. Some worry about air travel, opening a package or an email from somebody they do not know. Again, we all have a propensity to worry about something. But in the midst of all of our worries, Jesus has this word for us. Jesus tells us not to worry about the basic needs in life, because God cares for our physical well-beings as well as our spiritual well-beings. Sometimes I think it's hard for people to understand and comprehend that. My mission professor once described people who do evangelism as fillet of soul evangelism. It's like you pull out the soul and save it and then stick it back in the person. Jesus doesn't just save souls, he saves lives. The physical and the spiritual part of a person. And so here Jesus is reminding that God not only loves us and wants our souls, our spiritual beings, to spend with him in eternity, he wants to take care of our physical well-being as well. Don't you remember when Jesus taught them to pray? It was okay to pray for daily bread because God is concerned about our physical well-being. Life demands certain physical needs to be met. Not everybody eats bread. Asian cultures, rice becomes their equivalent of bread. And so we find some basic needs that we need. For some, it's pulled pork, but that's a whole other conversation. Life demands certain things to be met. And life does require clothing. Most places require clothing to go in. But at the same time, we should not worry about having all the clothes that we want or all the clothes that we think we might need, because life is more than just clothes. What's important is who resides in those clothes, because those clothes are simply fibers and things put together in order to put on a person, but the person is what's inside those clothes, and that's who God is focused on. God desires to be able to address our spiritual and our physical needs. And he uses the example of birds. Birds do not worry, and God takes care of them. How much more does God take care of you than these birds? Now, I will say, how many have hummingbird feeders? They're brutal. They go after each other. So we end up having to put a second one because they kept fighting each other over which one get to use this one. So we put another in the other side of the yard to try to take care of some of that. Is Jesus telling us to wait? That God will provide all the food and clothing and shelter that we need? No, I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. Have you ever watched a bird building a nest? It is quite a project. As a matter of fact, if you want to see it firsthand, you can go outside the church here and look up in the rafters, and almost always we either have a nest that we just torn down or one that's getting ready to be built back up again. It takes a lot of effort to build a nest, to be able to make provision before for those birds, for the nestlings to be able to grow to the point that they can fly for themselves. Is Jesus telling us to be workaholics? To work all the time? No. Birds do exactly what they need so that their eggs would be able to hatch and they would be able to do what they're going to do. They don't build a two-car garage on top of their nest. They don't have a sauna on their nest. They don't have these other things that could be added onto a nest. They do just what is needed and no more. Is Jesus telling us to be workaholics? No. We are to work for our bread and not expect God just to simply drop it from heaven. But we're not to make it the primary focus of our life. Working for bread and worrying about bread so that nothing else matters. Jesus reminds us that worrying about things does not help the situation. When did worrying about something actually help? Worrying both tears down the emotions and make you emotionally and physically tired. And as God cares for the lilies of the field, God dresses them. And Solomon, even with all his glory and all of the different cloth and trade that he's gotten from all over the area where he ruled, again, the lilies outshine him. God knows what you need, and God wants you to have what you need. Not necessarily all that we want or all that we think we need, but God does care about what you need, and God wants to provide it. So, is there anything in life we can be worried about? Actually, I think the answer is yes. There are some things that are worthy to be worried about. When we can and should be concerned about is God's kingdom, God's righteousness. To realize that even though God loves the world, he's concerned with our well-being, he also loves other people and is concerned for their spiritual and physical well-being. And so meeting the needs of others and helping others allows us to be able to help God make provision for those who do have needs that they cannot care for themselves. The text also tells us not to worry about our own food or our own clothes, but it doesn't say we can't be concerned about the food or clothes of other people. One of the reasons why we have Samaritan's purse and send these shoe boxes is because we care about the needs of other people. And maybe that's where Jesus is landing with some of this. Jesus cared about hunger and health of people as much as he did his ministry meeting their spiritual needs. He fed the 5,000. He healed. We should be concerned about others having their basic needs. And because of that, this is exactly why Samaritan Purse once a year does this around Christmas time, and while Salvation Army rings those bells outside the grocery store to be able to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. But we're also met with Christmas, the commercial enterprise of Christmas, and it encourages people to make a big circle and say, "This is what I want." And TV says we can have whatever we want. It wants us to focus on what I want and what I need. And the pressure of gift giving is very difficult. I've realized it always frustrated me. My mother was the hardest person to buy for. I don't really need anything. Well, I'm at that age. I'm now my mother. I don't need anything. I mean, there's all the places that you can store stuff are already full. There's no room for anything else. But in the midst of a culture that encourages us to get what we want out of life, Jesus reminds us that things that don't last come wrapped in a package in a pretty bow. Things that do not come wrapped as such can be those things that have kingdom values. A God that never changes. A child who was born in a feed trough that came to become known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Through the love God pours out to each of us so that he feeds our soul and that we want to express and share that same love with others. I think Jesus here is trying to say, don't spend all of your time and energy worrying about things, some of which you can control, some of which you can't control. I really don't think this text is primarily about worrying about food and clothes. I think if we stop there, we would miss the point of what Jesus is trying to say. It's about having faith in God. That's really what this whole text is about. Do you trust God? Are you willing to depend upon God? Our natural inclination is, God, I got A through G. When I get to H, I'll be on the phone to you. And Jesus is trying to say, God is just as concerned about A through G as he is H and following. That he wants to be a part of every bit of our lives. When we focus our attention about tomorrow, we rob ourselves of today. Because we're present at a time that doesn't exist, and we're not utilizing the time that we have this very day ourselves. We can only do this if we trust in God. You have to take Jesus at his word to say tomorrow will take care of itself. So let me spend all of my focus and all of my attention on today and trust God for tomorrow. And you realize how much more you accomplish in this day, how much you treasure that this is a day that God has given us to live out our lives. We must have faith in God, who not only provides for our physical needs, but also practices redemptions for our spiritual need. The text gives us the key point in understanding how Christ's church on the earth should function. Jesus created the church so that I would worry about all of your needs. You would be worried, all of you would be worried for my needs, and in doing so, everybody has their needs met. If everybody's focused on the other person's, then everybody's going to be taken care of. That is the picture of the early church that Jesus established. Christ's church takes care of each other. We do become church family. We do care for the needs of other people. And maybe it goes back to a prayer, whether it was actually spoken by him or attributed to him, a prayer of St. Francis. Lord, help me to change those things I can change. To accept those things I cannot change. And to attain the wisdom to know the difference. Those are words of wisdom, regardless of who they came from. Letting today be that day that God has given us. But you and I know there's plenty to worry about. That doesn't come out of our imagination. There's plenty of worry in this world. And to those who realize that there's plenty to worry about, Jesus says these simple words. Come to me, all those who are burdened by life, and I will give you rest. Lord, help us to carry our burdens. Help us to calm our wisdom and our worries. But in order for Jesus to help us, we have to give up those burdens. We have to admit, I can't fix it. I can't make it work. I can't make it go away. I can't do this on my own. I'm simply not strong enough. So my question for each of us today, what burdens do we need to leave here at this church today and give it up to God so that that part of our mind that worries about that burden can be used and repurposed somewhere else? I invite you to look within your own hearts. And as we have a time of invitation, feel free to come down to the altar, or I'll be happy to have prayer with you. But anything that's going on that you would like to leave that burden that you've been carrying for so long, just to leave it here at the church and let God take care of it. Because Jesus promises, somehow, in some way, He will. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the ways in which you touch our lives. We thank you for your word and pray that it comes alive in our hearts. We pray that we have the ability to trust you in all things of our lives. Guide us and continue to speak to our hearts. There's someone here who has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of the life. Pray that they consider doing that on this day. Or maybe simply some have burdens they want to leave here and not take them home with them. This is an invitation for people to respond to whatever you've spoken to their hearts. We pray that this takes place to honor the name of Jesus, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing 405, 405.
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of His children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. When your prayers are unanswered, your earnest plea He will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust His word and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God.
have faith in God.
Sunday as when the day he would be baptized and become a full member of the church. All those who celebrate that with me.
LLC, Shelby, North Carolina. We'll begin this morning with a reading of the minutes of the last meeting.
Church conference meeting was called to order by Whitey Green, deacon of the chairman, or chairman deacon, and opened with a prayer on June 15th of 2025. Minutes from the last conference from 18th of May and the special meeting on June 1st were read. Motion was made to accept by Robbie Mullinax, seconded by Michaela Mullinax. All present voted to approve. The treasurer's report was given by Jim Humphreys. Operational fund balance is $198,660.89. May ended the ninth month of the business year. May expenses included quarterly insurance payment of $2,800. Therefore, total expenses resulted in a shortfall of $2,166.90. This is the second shortfall of this year. However, there is still an overage for the total year. Motion to accept by Crystal Lucas and second by Michaela Mullinax. All present voted to